Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Hey, if you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the pastor here. And man, we're so excited you're with us. As you heard at the beginning, we're in the middle of a series that we are calling Love and Be, talking about really one of my favorite aspects of our church, which is our ongoing Love and Be initiative. And so if you missed last week, I really am going to encourage, if you don't have it already, download our app, because not only is it the best way to stay connected with us, you can go back and you can watch last week, because we kind of kicked this series off talking about what Love and Be is and why it's so important to us. But if you did miss it, I kind of want to recap real quick. So for us, what is Love and Be? Maybe you've seen a t-shirt, maybe you've seen a mask, maybe you've volunteered, maybe you've even given, but what is it? When we say Love and Be from as our church, what do we mean? This is what Love and Be is. Love and Be is Wellspring's initiative to resource nonprofits in our community that are making Horry County a better place. What that basically means is this: we look around our community and we find nonprofits that are making a difference in our community, that are making Myrtle Beach a better place, and that are basically taking the values of Jesus into our community, and they're doing a better job than we could do. I said this last week. We're really good at this. We know how to gather. We know how to sing songs, but I am not an effective executor of trying to end homelessness in Horry County. I want to end homelessness, but I don't know the mechanisms of that. So what we do is we partner with organizations that know how to do that. We partner with organizations that know how to provide safe spaces for women and children in crisis. We partner with organizations that know how to provide food for people that desperately need it. We partner with organizations that are helping the least of these in our community improve their lives. And the reason we do that, the reason we think this is so important, when we really think about Love and Be, it's this. What is Love and Be? It's our attempt to change the world. That's what we're trying to do, and we're doing that by partnering with organizations that are already changing the world. So what we do is we find these great organizations in our community that are doing a great job, and we go to them and we ask them a simple question. Hey, how can we help? And they say two things. We need money and we need volunteers, because they're nonprofits and they always need money and volunteers. And so we say, okay, great, we can help with that. So what is Love and Be? It is the initiative through which we give. Next week, we're going to take our yearly Love and Be offering so that we have the funds to support these organizations for the next 12 months. We also serve. We provide manpower. We provide volunteers through Love Weeks, through Love Weekends, and on an ongoing basis to help these organizations in our community. And as we give and as we serve, we believe we are loving our community. We believe we are bringing Jesus to our community, because we believe that that love matters. And the reason we believe that that love is so important is because Jesus told us love is so important. In fact, we talked about it last week. The marching orders he left for his disciples and through his disciples to us was, hey guys, once you've had your lives changed by me, once you believe in me, I need you to understand something. The way you're going to change the world is going to be by loving other people. The way you're going to change the world is going to highly depend on how you treat other people. And in that moment, Jesus revealed something to us that we talked about last week. It's kind of where we landed. It's where we're going to pick up today. One of the great things about Christianity, if you're here today and you're part of Wellspring, you consider yourself a Christian. If you're joining us online, if you know this about what it means to be a Christian. If you're a guest today and maybe you're not a Christian, one of the things I love about our church is we have people who attend each week who wouldn't consider themselves Christians yet. Maybe you're joining us online today. You don't consider yourself a Christian yet. This is something really important for you to understand about Christianity, and it's this. Our beliefs change us. We don't have to perform to become a Christian. We don't have to do anything to become a Christian. We become a Christian through faith. We become a Christian by believing Jesus is who he says he is, by believing he did what he said he did, and by putting our faith in that. It's purely by belief. We don't have to perform for him. There's not a checklist. It doesn't work that way. It's purely based on belief. That's why we say salvation is by grace, which means the goodness of God, through faith, through our belief in his goodness. Those beliefs change us. That is the good news of being a Christian. We don't have to behave our way to it. We believe our way to becoming a Christian. But what Jesus explained to us last week, and the reason we talk about Love and Be, is while our beliefs change us, we also understand that our behaviors change the world. Beliefs change us internally. The way we behave towards other people is what leads them to changing how they believe internally. And it works, and you understand this, because Jesus behaved lovingly towards us before we believed in his love. Because beliefs change us, it is behaviors that change the world. And so, for us, love and be is our opportunity to give and to serve in an effort to behave lovingly towards a world that desperately needs Jesus. And as I said, next week we're going to give. We're going to take our yearly offering. In a few weeks, on December 4th through 6th, that weekend, we're having our next Love Weekend, which is a chance for us to serve together on that weekend, to serve our community and to serve our community partners. And so next week we're going to giving. You can actually sign up to serve today. If you want to be a part of our Love Weekends, that QR code that we have on the back of your chair that's for everything, you scan that and you go to that link. There's a place to sign up. In fact, you can sign up right now if you want to. You're not going to offend me if you get your phone out. But if you're like me, the idea right now, let's be honest, in COVID 2020, of signing up to volunteer on a weekend might feel a little much. The idea next week of maybe giving some extra money away might feel a little much. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can nod or you can just blink at me with your eyes. Because I know I feel that way. And just about every conversation I have with people in 2020, the year that will never end, is that we all just feel drained. We all just feel overwhelmed. We all feel inadequate. We don't really feel like we're performing well at work. We don't feel like we're performing well at home. We're having to learn new subjects, and we're having to manage kids. And some of us are trying to teach our kids things that we don't remember learning in school. And we just feel inadequate about it. And at work, maybe we feel like things are dropping, and we're not the employee we used to be. We're not the boss we used to be. And we just feel tired, and we feel depleted, and we feel inadequate. And then you come to church, and they're like, hey, sign up to serve and do more. And what you're thinking is, more? I don't have enough, man. I love you and I love this place and I love that we want to serve our community, but right now, man, I don't have enough. And look, if you feel that way, I want you to know you're in great company. If I could sit down there and listen to this message too, I would. Because I completely and totally understand. But I have really great news for you today, and it's not that I understand. The really great news is that our Savior understands. And almost 2,000 years ago, on the other side of the planet, he performed a miracle. And through that miracle, he taught a lesson that I think, if we allow it today, can set us free from that thinking and can realign how we think about needs and resources when it comes to our Savior. And so what I want to do today is I just want to take you to that miracle. I'm going to walk you through it. Because in this miracle, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a lesson, and through his disciples, he was trying to teach us a lesson. And it's a lesson. The cool thing is, even if you don't believe in God today, this lesson applies to you as well. And the miracle we're going to talk about is a very famous miracle. If you grew up in church, in all, any church background at all, you've probably heard about this miracle. There are four biographies of Jesus' life. This miracle and the resurrection are the only two miracles that are actually recorded in all four of the biographies. If you're a Christian, the resurrection is pretty important. And so this one, the miracle we're going to look at today, is equally important in what it reveals to us about our relationship with Jesus. So what I want to do is I want to take you straight to this passage. If you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 6, where we're going to be. But I kind of got to set it up. So this miracle takes place kind of at one of the heights, one of the peaks of Jesus' ministry. He's immensely popular. He's been teaching and preaching and healing, and his disciples are with him, and they have been working for days, if not weeks, on end. And this particular time, it's the end of the day. They've been working all day long, and Jesus actually has called his disciples together to leave. They're going to go rest. They're going to go get something to eat. They're going to kind of chill out, take a break before they kind of pick up the next morning, because Jesus knows they're tired, and they've been going, they've been running, and they've just been seeing all these amazing things, but they're exhausted. They need a break. But the crowds won't leave. And so Jesus and his disciples kind of move somewhere else, but the crowds follow. And so that's where we begin this story. At the end of working as hard as they've ever worked, they've seen some great things, but they are exhausted. They are depleted. It's nighttime. It's about dinner time. They just want to get something to eat. They just want to rest. They just want to go home. They just want to sit in their chair. They just want to watch some TV. They just want to chill out for a second. And that's where we meet this story. And here's what happens. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Now, as we're going to see in a moment, huge is real. We're talking about minimum 10, probably closer to 15,000 people are searching for Jesus. I've never had 15,000 people searching for me, but it sounds pretty scary, actually. So he looks up, and there's 15,000 people just coming towards him, wanting to hear from Jesus, wanting a little piece of Jesus. And one of his disciples, a man named Philip, is sitting right beside him. And he turns to Philip and he asks him a question. He says, "Hey, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" See, it's night. It's getting dark. It's dinner time. And you may ask, why do you ask Philip? Philip was not the cook. They were in Philip's hometown. And so he's asking Philip for some bread recommendations. "Hey, Philip, where's the best bread in town? Hey, Philip, where can we buy bread for all these people? There's 15,000 of them. They're hungry. They've been outside all day, too. They need to be fed, and Jesus wants to feed them." And Philip does something I do, and you do, and we all do. Jesus said we. Philip heard me. Where can I go find bread? He missed that Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to help you with this situation. We are going to do this. I'm just asking for your recommendations. Where can we go buy bread?" Philip heard he needs me to go buy bread. He needs me to find the bread. He needs me to solve this problem. He needs me to help deal with this whole thing. And Jesus knew that's what Philip would hear, and Jesus knew he had opportunity. That's what John tells us. Jesus was up to something. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Now, testing doesn't mean like testing his faith. It means training. He was equipping Philip. He was preparing Philip. Through Philip, he was going to prepare the other disciples, and through the other disciples, he was going to prepare us, because he knew exactly what he was going to do. So he says, "Hey, Philip, where can we get some bread?" Philip hears he needs me to get some bread. So he starts looking around. He does a quick calculation. He does some math, and this is his response. "Even if we worked for months, Jesus, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Even if we worked for months, probably 6 to 8, maybe even 12 months. If 15,000 people, even if you're feeding them at $2 a head, that's $30,000. So Philip was saying, "It's going to take me 6 to 8, 12 months of working to earn this money, Jesus, to feed these people. We don't have enough." Can you imagine Philip in that moment when he heard "me" instead of "we"? He's exhausted. He has been running and running and running and running, and he is on empty. He just needs a break. And now he sees people who need to be fed, and it's going to take 6 to 12 months worth of working to earn the money to feed them, and all he wants to do is take a nap. He is completely and totally exhausted, and his monetary resources are completely and totally depleted. And there are 15,000 hungry people looking at him. What was his response? "We don't have enough." Can you relate? Over the last few weeks and months, when your kids have needed the extra help on the subject you don't remember learning in school, "Mom, I need more help." "Maybe I can't. I don't have enough. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know that." the special projects at work that used to energize you, now deplete you. And you look around, you're like, man, I don't have enough. I don't have enough energy. You think about the coming offering next week. And you're like, give money, man. I don't have enough. No. Think about signing up to serve. Serve? Man, I'm barely keeping it together. I barely have enough time to do the laundry. If I shower 3 days a week, it's a good week. I don't have enough right now. If that's you, if you've had that thought, if you're feeling it right now, you could not be in better company. That is how the 12 men felt when Jesus asked this request, and he used them to change the world. He did not get angry. He did not get upset. He did not get frustrated. He said, oh, okay, I understand. There's something about me you haven't learned yet. So he took this opportunity to teach them and through them to teach us what it means to partner with the God of the universe. So, back to the story. So Philip's like, dude, we don't have enough, Jesus. And obviously Philip had been talking to some of his other disciples because they've all kind of gathered now and they're all kind of talking kind of off to the side. And they're like, okay, he wants to feed these people. Do you have any money? No. Do you know? Do you know anybody that we got? No. Okay. I don't know what we're going to do. But they start asking around for ideas. And then another disciple kind of speaks up. His name's Andrew. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he speaks up. Now you may wonder, why is Andrew speaking up? Well, Andrew and Simon Peter are brothers. They are friends of Philip's. It's their hometown as well. They hear Philip's kind of been put on the spot. And so Andrew's like, I'm going to help my buddy. And so Andrew's been looking around, trying to find someone who might can help. And so Andrew's found someone. So Andrew speaks up. And here's what Andrew says. He says, hey, Jesus, there's a young boy here. And he has 5 barley loaves and he has 2 fish. Now, 5 barley loaves would be better described as barley biscuits. They're probably about this big, very thin. The 2 fish were probably dried fish. Again, very small. This was a little boy. This was most likely his lunch. Now, we assume that this little boy knew Simon Peter and Andrew and Philip. And they came to town with Jesus. And so we assume that this little boy had kind of had like a backstage pass to Jesus. And he thought this was the coolest thing in the world. His friends and his mom was never going to believe. He got to spend the whole day with Jesus. Andrew and Simon Peter were taking him around. And so he hears them talking about Jesus wants to feed these people. And he hears them say, we don't have enough. And he looks at what he has and he says, well, you can have this. See, he wasn't young enough to know what he had wasn't enough. He just knew he had it. And he could give it. And so he gives what he has. Because he's a little boy. And it's just this little genuine heart. And Andrew is so moved by it that he wants to bring him to Jesus. And he wants the little boy to have his moment. He wants to reward. What is that? What gets rewarded gets repeated, you know. So he's bringing him to Jesus. And he's like, look what he did, Jesus. Isn't he great? And he says it in front of him. But then, so that the other disciples know that he knows what he's really talking about, he waits till the little boy kind of turns and kind of moves on. And then Andrew adds these words, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus, look what this little boy did. Isn't this great? Oh, thank you, buddy. I don't know what we're going to do with this. This is even going to make a dent. This is one little boy's lunch. We got 15,000 people. Not enough. And at that moment, Jesus says, give the lunch to me. And so they do. And then Jesus does something no one expected. Watch this. tell everyone to sit down. He takes the lunch, and he says, tell them to sit down. And so the disciples, what? Jesus, that's one little boy's lunch. What do you mean, tell him to sit down? Oh, did you DoorDash? Is there some food coming? Is there going to be some pizza delivered, Jesus? We don't understand. But okay. And so they start telling everybody to sit down. And they get everybody seated. And they all just start looking. And Jesus takes it in his hands. And everybody just waits. And there are a lot of people just waiting. In fact, let me show you how many people there were. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes, and the men alone numbered about 5,000. This is why I know there was 10,000 to 15,000 people, because never in the history of life have 5,000 men gone to church by themselves. Like, it's not what happened. Their kids are there, their wives are there, so there's at least 10,000 to 15,000 people there. So they all sit, and they're all watching, and all the disciples are thinking, what is he doing? He doesn't have enough. He's got that one little lunch. He's got 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's not enough, Jesus. We're going to look like fools. These people are here. What are we going to do, Jesus? Jesus says, watch this. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. And afterwards, he did the same with the fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. He prays, thanks God for them, and then in his hands, he starts passing out food. And before you know it, 1,000 people they're fed. And he's still passing out food. And the disciples are just walking back and forth with baskets, and they're like, what is happening? Where is he getting this food? And every time they come back, there's more food waiting on them. So they fill their basket, and they take it, and they go to more people, and then 6,000 people are fed, and then 8,000 people are fed. And then 12,000 people are fed, and there's still more food, and they just keep coming back, and there's more food, and they fill the basket, and they keep going. Like, what is happening? And so they take the food, and eventually, all 15,000 people are fed. And not just a little fed. Watch this. They all ate as much as they wanted. They went back for seconds. They went back for thirds. They were flogging the disciples down like waiters. Excuse me. Excuse me. I need some more fish. Okay, right away, ma'am. But they didn't have enough. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Yet, in Jesus' hands, they fed everyone that was there. But remember, Jesus was teaching a lesson. So after everyone has eaten, he says something else, none of his disciples were expecting. Watch this. After everyone was full, notice again, full, ate as much as they wanted, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted. They didn't have enough. Now they have leftovers. It turns out Jesus is a lot like a southern grandma. When he cooks, he makes more. And so the disciples take the baskets and they walk and they start gathering leftovers. Are you sure you're done? Yeah, yeah. Oh, we had plenty. Here's what we have. They gather it up. They gather the leftovers from this one little boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish, not enough. They gather the leftovers. And I want you to see how much leftovers they have. What's this? So they picked up pieces. And they filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. 12 baskets full of leftovers when they didn't think they had enough. You know why 12 matters? You know how many disciples Jesus had? 12. They walked away with a basket full when they walked in thinking they didn't have enough. Cana. Just imagine Philip coming back to Jesus with that basket full of food, with his jaw dropped, just in awe. And Jesus just grinning at him, probably gave him a little wink, and said, "Hey, Philip, not enough, huh?" See, Jesus was teaching us something about what it means to partner with him. See, where we see not enough, he sees an opportunity. Because he doesn't need us. He didn't need Philip to solve the problem. He didn't need the little boy's lunch. He didn't need any of the resources. What he wants is the relationship. What he wants is the trust. What he wants is the confidence that if you ask me to do something, Jesus, and I step with you, you're going to accomplish it. Because here's the secret. We are never going to have enough to solve the problems of the world. We are never going to have enough to do what we think we should do. We're always going to have not enough. But to me, the message of this miracle, both to them and to us, is this. It's that our not enough in Jesus' hands is more than we can imagine. Because he can do more than we can. See, the little boy handed his lunch, right? And everybody said it was not enough. But to the little boy, it was all he had. And Jesus says, exactly. That's what I want you to get. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. Now, whatever you have that you can give, be it money, be it time, being a skill, give it to the glory of God. And don't let anybody tell you it's not enough. Say, I'm partnering with Jesus, and my not enough in his hands is more than I can imagine. Not enough is an empty basket. More than you can imagine is a full basket after 15,000 people have eaten off one little boy's lunch. And the real message of this, what Jesus is trying to reveal to us as we think about, you know, giving and we think about serving and we think about doing everything he calls us to do in the world and how we feel inadequate for the moment and unequipped for the task, is he saying, it's that inadequacy, it's that unequipping that's drawing me in, because when you give that to me and you see good things happen, you can't take credit for it. And you'll know that I moved through you. And you'll trust me more, and you'll love me more, and it'll be easier for you to follow me in the future. So that's why I want you to come in to this moment. All I need is your willingness. I grew up in church, and we always said it this way, so I want to share it with you as we end. Jesus supplies the ability when we provide our availability. When we say, I'm here, I'm available, don't know what I'm doing, I'm not sure I have enough, Jesus, but I'm here. That's what the little boy said. He didn't know if it would help or not. He knew he had it, and he gave it. What if one of the mechanisms God wants to use to remove the thoughts of inadequacy in 2020, to remove the places we don't feel like we're making a difference or we feel like we're failing, what if one of the things he wants to use to replace those thoughts is a couple hours on a weekend where you give what you have to help someone else? Maybe it's 15 minutes. Maybe you have 15 minutes. Give 15 minutes to the glory of God. Give 2 hours to the glory of God. Maybe you have some skills and some strengths that you don't think matter at all. Jesus says, they matter to me. Make them available. Watch what I can do. You know, next week we're taking our offering, and people keep asking me, man, what's the goal? What's the goal for the offering? Where, I'm not doing a numerical goal this year because it's 2020, man, and I don't know where everybody is. But I do have a goal for our offering, and it's participation. My goal is that everybody who calls Wellspring home will give what they can. Not more than they can, just give what they can. Because I think it would be really cool for our church to be unified in our declaration of the fact that we love Myrtle Beach and we want to serve Myrtle Beach. But what's going to happen over the next 7 days is you're going to look at what you can give, and somebody's going to whisper in your ear, that's not enough. And when that happens, I want you to remember, you may not think it's enough, but my not enough in the hands of God is more than I can imagine. has been a year of us being told we're not enough. Not enough of a parent. Can't spend as much time with the kids as we used to because we're too tired. Can't go outside as much. Used to go outside for an hour or two every weekend. Now 10 or 15 minutes is the best you can do. You know what? Give 10 to 15 minutes to the glory of God and trust it in His hands. At work, man, you used to be the problem solver. You used to be able to get things done. Now, after 20 minutes of a meeting, you just got to tap out. You're done. You can have about one meeting a day. Do one meeting a day to the glory of God. Do not let anyone tell you you're not enough, Wellspring. Because you're not enough in Jesus' hands can accomplish more than you could ever, ever imagine. And so, yeah, we have two opportunities next week to give and a couple weeks to serve, to see that. We have an opportunity every week when we gather together as a people to serve, to volunteer, to give back what you can, to walk away with more than you gave. See, that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. And that's the message of this miracle. And I leave it with you to be encouraged, to be set free, and to never be discouraged by the fact that you don't think you have enough. Jesus doesn't need your enough. He just needs you to be willing to share it. Whatever you have, here you go, Jesus, is yours. And that is where miracles happen. And to prove it, I want to share with you another video. Last week we ended with one of our community partners. This week we're going to tell the story of another one of our community partners. This is New Directions. They're one of our oldest partners here in town. And not only are you going to hear from them, you're going to hear from some Wellspringers who have been serving there. And I want you to hear how your serving, your willingness to share what you have, has done more than any of us could imagine in this organization. Check it out.
My name is Kathy Jenkins. I'm the executive director for New Directions of Horry County. I've been the executive director since day one, which is a little over 7 years. Every person who walks in our shelters is generally surprised. It is not what they pictured. A homeless shelter here in Myrtle Beach is not what they always pictured a homeless shelter to be.
When I first moved to this area, I wanted to get involved into the community somehow. And I wasn't sure really, I didn't know too many people, wasn't sure how to do that. And luckily enough, Wellspring already partners with plenty of organizations. So there's tons of ways to jump in and volunteer. You know, this area has a lot of happy things to do and people having a great time and moving here and celebrating and vacationing. But right around the corner, there's so many people that are having a real struggle. And so I think we can't forget about them. So I do have a heart for that, especially the women's shelter.
My name is Mike Janczak. I am the kitchen coordinator for New Directions. Kitchen department, I'll call it, has over 200 volunteers. And we love each and every one of them.
Serving food has always been something that I've gravitated to. My mom started taking me, you know, when I was young, and all the cities I've lived in, I have tried to get involved with a shelter and serving meals.
We laugh a lot. We're in the kitchen, we're cooking, we're prepping, we're cleaning. we just start the day, however it is, an hour, 3 hours, whatever it might be, whatever they're doing, and we just laugh the whole time. We, meaning the staff, myself mostly, and whoever else I have working in there, don't necessarily have time to do those regularly. Volunteers love doing it. They do. Absolutely love doing it.
Working at the New Directions, the women's shelter, it touched me deep. Being able to serve in that way, pulling together the living room and working on the office and actually getting to know some of the people on staff there and that actually live there, it really touched me.
We love our volunteers. We need our volunteers. 1 hour means so much to us. Over the years, we have seen people do all kinds of things, from answering phones to building projects, and every single minute, every single hour makes a difference in what we're able to do for our people who are homeless. And without us and without our volunteers, we can't provide what we provide for them.
My specific couple of hours here and there to volunteer don't seem like they're making a big effect directly, but I know that indirectly we're all part of the larger puzzle, and it feels good to be a part of that, part of a positive outreach program.
I have a 15-month-old, so to be honest, it's been tough, especially earlier. I am a new mom, so this is my first go-around, and there are times in the past and still that I just don't have anything else to give, or I feel like I don't have anything else to give. But I also try to remember that God has blessed me, and I may be a little bit tired, but I still have enough to give to someone else.
The second year that we partnered with Wellspring, or Wellspring partnered with us, and they came in and helped us at the women's shelter do what we could have not done for ourselves, and it was so needed. It was a time when the women's shelter living room had torn and ripped carpet, soiled furniture, once again, bare walls, and didn't even have a desk in the room where the clients come in to check in. So I remember going around and sharing with Eric, and not sure who else was with us that day, and he said, I think we can do something about this. Well, they did. And what a really great part was, they planned it themselves and had the staff stay away that weekend. And they took out the carpet, they laid new flooring, they painted, they brought in some new shelves, a desk, and new furniture for the women's shelter, and had a reveal on Sunday afternoon. So some of the staff and I, we went there for the great reveal, and I will never forget the feeling that came over me when we saw this, that somebody cared so much about the work that we do in helping others, that they would do something like this for us. So thank you.
Thank you for helping us love MB.
Thank you, guys. You guys have no idea how much you've helped us.